said, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You text us at the same number. On the line, my good friend, Ms. Brenda Wesley. You know, Brenda, I laid out a scenario before we went to break about a poor woman who, you know, was seemed like was crying out for some help. And so how are people to handle that, a situation like that?
To be assured that she is surrounded by her, you know, when we think about society and our family and even our jobs, is that to say that I am struggling right now and I need to get help. Just like if you broke your leg and you would have to go into the hospital. And I'll just give you a scenario, a quick story that I did a training, and an attorney came up to me and said, you know, it's just sad that we cannot still talk about mental illness and mental health the way that we should. And she lived with major depression and she was not doing well. And she had to admit herself into the hospital, but she didn't tell her boss. She didn't tell her company she had to take vacation time. She took vacation time, as well as she said, I will not tell my clients, because if I do, people will look at me differently. And I thought it was very sad that she would take vacation time in order to seek help, because you know that people would look at you differently. So I think there are times in our lives that we do struggle, whether or not it's long-term depression or anxiety or short-term. Because even a lot of, and just think about this, when you were younger, and I tell people this, have you ever done anything in your life where if somebody put a camera on what you did because you were so ashamed by your behavior that you would probably bury your head in the sand? And a lot of people say, yeah. So we just kind of condemn people when there are short periods in your life where behavior is not what we see as normal as well. Even kids going to college, your first breakup. Remember your first breakup. Oh, I don't want to live. I don't want to be here anymore. And there are some people that have contemplated or attempted suicide one time because of that one event. But can I reach out to you and say, I am struggling, I need help, and then how are we going to look at that person, right?
You know, Brenda, that's never been the case with me, because I fell down out of heaven. mild attempt at humor. But I'll tell you this, Brenda.
Me too.
you said what?
I said, go ahead. I said, I fell down from heaven as well.
But I get it. But I want to talk about the fact that you hear people say mental illness is hereditary. Are people predisposed to mental illness? Let's talk a little bit about those areas.
Yes, they do say that there is a genetic predisposition to a mental health, to a mental illness. So we do carry that gene from one family to the next. An example, there are families that have a gene for cancer, that there's a predisposition in your family. That's
right.
Why they ask you, is there colon cancer in your family? What about breast cancer? Because you
right.
have a higher percentage of being diagnosed with that. And that's the same with some of these mental illnesses, is that you have a higher predisposition. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a mental illness, but you have a higher chance of it. And so maybe some triggers you need to look out for, and that's stress and you know, and the impacts of life as well. So yeah, there's a genetic predisposition to it.
You know, Brenda, one of the things that that I want to do is, with this new radio opportunity I have, is what I've always wanted to do, and that's to bring these kinds of conversations to the airways again and again and again. We're not going to be able to scratch the surface in this first hour that you and I have are sharing this morning, with all the different things that are going on in our city to address these issues. I am certainly going to make it a part of what I do on the airways, because I see so many people suffering with it. You know, right. We don't have any idea of how many people have been murdered or how many people are murderers who have these mental illnesses in our community. But we know based on statistics, they're pretty high, right? I mean, the rates are pretty high.
Or maybe not. Now, get this, though, Earl, but maybe not. It may not per se be a mental illness, but a person may be mentally unwell at the time. So, again, we just need to weed out and just really understand all of these nuances and the differences as well.
So again, mentally unwell, define that for us.
A mental illness is an illness that really impacts your behavior on a day-to-day basis, just like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder,
right.
where it impacts like your day-to-day living, your relationships. So we have these other, like clinical depression, some of the depression, anxiety, and then we can, and traumatic events, not per se, is a mental illness, but a traumatic event can impact our behavior. So we have to be careful with that, because there are people that have committed, just because you have a mental health diagnosis doesn't mean that you're going to be a murderer. There are people that do not have these illnesses at all, and they can commit a murder.
Right.
So we have to be very careful, because people will be so afraid to even talk to someone if they say, I'm living with schizophrenia. Oh my goodness, I need to run, because that person just may snap or do whatever. So that's why we have to be careful when we use the languages that we use to define what's happening with someone, because someone can become mentally unwell and kill someone. And so we just have to be careful. It doesn't mean that you have a mental illness per se. So again, we just have to be careful how we define these terms when we're talking about it.
So, you know, Brenda, that's why it's so important that we have the dialogue and have conversations with people like you and others who you're going to be lining up for us to continue to have this dialogue with on an ongoing basis. I'm always moved by what you've been able to do and the commitment that you have made. But the other part of it is, I hadn't realized, you know, that there's an army that is working behind the scenes. And we're gonna bring that message also over the airwaves about the army that is being assembled to address these issues.
Yes, absolutely. And the changes in the system, but we still have a very long way to go, because we do have to change the narrative of how people think about these illnesses, how people think about mental health, mental wellness. Again, we just have to keep the charge up with educational components, especially in our community, Earl, is that we need to start from the beginning, from A all the way to Z, and address all of it, from the diagnoses to what is not a mental illness, what is being mentally unhealthy. Again, people can live with a mental illness and be mentally healthy, and people cannot live with a mental illness and be mentally unhealthy. So we have to always remember that, so we don't put this cloud over people that do live with these illnesses. Not saying that they don't need help, because they do, because there are things in the brain that they're dealing with. But there's just so much education that we need to surround ourselves with.
Well, Brenda, I want to thank you for starting us on the path to that. And certainly I'll be in touch with you, and we'll have you on again and again. Thank you very much. That's my good friend, Brenda Wesley, as we begin our conversation with mental health on the Earl Ingram Show. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by another friend, Mr. Johnny Bohannon, as we talk about the lyrics to rap music and the impact that it's having. Be right back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you in a few minutes.